One in 10 jobs will be eliminated at the company that puts so much of the silicon in California's Silicon Valley. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Intel, the maker of the digital brains inside so many products, is laying off 11% of its workforce, 12,000 people worldwide. Like so many of its competitors, Intel wants to focus more on digital services through big remote fields of computers, what they call the cloud, and Intel has struggled to keep up with the shift away from desktop computing. Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood covers Silicon Valley, where Intel is one of the preeminent names.
Ultimately, this comes down to Intel failing to get its chips into mobile devices, smartphones, and tablets. They've been trying to do so for most of this decade and have not delivered chips that are fast enough, are powerful enough, and that manufacturers want to use. The result is that Apple and other major mobile companies went ahead and built their own chips instead of using Intel, and that left Intel with basically the ever-shrinking PC market to try to make money off of, and they don't have a lot of other prospects right now.
Intel stock was actually up slightly in early trading today. An American maker of printers is being sold to a Chinese concern. It's Lexmark of Lexington, Kentucky, a Chinese company that includes Apex. You may know that brand. Will spend $3.5 billion. It's part of a wave of Chinese investment in U.S. companies. Marketplace's Andy Euler has been following this.
Is it the slowing Chinese economy, a weakened yuan? Probably both. But whatever the cause, Chinese companies have been very active in acquiring American ones. I talked with Sean Ryan in Shanghai. He's the founder of the China Market Research Group.
Already in Q1 of this year, there's been more outbound Chinese investment than all of 2015. So we're just at the beginning of Chinese companies becoming global players through acquisition.
Now, an interesting little wrinkle in this story is that the printer market in China is still booming, believe it or not. Unlike in the U.S., where we use electronic signatures and PDFs, all contracts and invoices still have to be printed out there. So Apex, the company acquiring Lexmark, could be buying more than just the Lexmark name.
The New York City Department of Education is set to vote today on a deal being closely watched by education technology industry people. It's a contract with Amazon to let the retail giant sell electronic books to schools that serve 1.1 million public school students in New York. It's a $30 million deal over 3 years, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
The pitch is to let Amazon serve as something of an internal online bookstore for the district.
It gives confirmation that Amazon's more broadly moving into the education space.
Phil Hill is a partner at MindWires Consulting, and I actually caught up with him at an education tech conference. Amazon told me it isn't commenting on this right now, but Hill says there's a good reason Amazon is pushing for this deal.
It's a multi-billion dollar market for educational content for K-12 and for higher education, and it's a market that's been very slow to change.
Especially for the fast-moving tech sector. Ben Schachter is a technology analyst at Macquarie Securities. He says one of the barriers to more tech in schools is the school system.
And so if Amazon can actually navigate through the New York City bureaucracy, I think that would be quite a win for them.
Because if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Food waste in America. The biggest proportion is consumers. We throw out a lot of food. Today's a big public service ad campaign launching. It's aimed at getting people to change this behavior. The environmental group, the Natural Resources Defense Council, is partnering with the Ad Council on this. The campaign includes a TV spot chronicling the life of a strawberry from field to the market. One of the points here is the economic cost of throwing out so much food. Marketplace's Annie Baxter has details.
Nora Rendell is opening up her compost bin in St. Paul to give her toddler, Henry, a look inside.
Here, do you want to come up here, bud?
Yeah.
I'll show you.
Ooh.
Together, they name all the yucky stuff they see. Food that rot got to before they could.
Do you see some potatoes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's from that potato leek soup I didn't make.
And some oranges.
Some oranges and kale.
Natural Resources Defense Council scientist Dana Gunder says a family of four wastes about $1,500 a year on food they don't eat.
For many households, it's about 20% of the food they buy, which is crazy. It's like walking out of the grocery store with five bags, dropping one in the parking lot, and not even bothering to pick it up.
Gunder says people aren't only throwing away money. The extra food they buy pushes up prices. But ag economist Vince Smith says that effect on prices is modest. And for most people, it would get lost in the shuffle, in part because over the past few decades, we've gotten wealthier.
The share of our income that we spend on food has gone down substantially.
Smith says wasting less could theoretically lower demand for certain commodities and push prices down, but not by much because of the global nature of the food supply. For example, he says about 8% of the world's annual wheat production comes from the U.S., but we only use about half of it. If we wasted less and signaled to producers to grow less, Smith says the drop in global wheat consumption would be small.
And the impact on the price of wheat would be minuscule.
As for the idea that wasting less food could put more money in your pocket, Nora Rendell says even that can seem kind of abstract. That's because when she does waste food, it's usually just in dribs and drabs.
There's never anything that I, like a whole bag of something that I don't use part of.
But she says she will try to save money and food with one key tip from the Save the Food campaign: freezing more stuff before it rots. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
You should have sautéed the mushrooms yesterday. Now look at them. Wait, they were already fungus, so what's the problem? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.